Now may the words of our mouths and the meditations in our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. It's tempting, as the gospel was, to talk about Pharisees and tax collectors. I'm going to go on a little different path today. August 29, 2005 was a day that many of us remember as the cataclysmic destruction of the Mississippi Gulf Coast. It was not so much for me as it would be some 8 days later before I found myself in a position to take in and realize the devastation that was wrought by Hurricane Katrina to that area. It's not that I was in a coma or far removed, geographically speaking, from the events. It was because I was caught up in my own storm and dealing with the aftermath of it. The afternoon of the 29th, I was in the command center of the hospital, surrounded by administrators, department leaders, and others who were looking to me for guidance. That's funny. Katrina had hit the local area pretty hard, and our hospital wasn't spared. As the wind howled and the rain poured down, we saw systems fail one right after the other. At one point, I recall thinking, thank God that the ambulances cannot run because of the high winds, because we have little to offer anyone who might come here seeking help. It was a frustrating feeling, and as the emergency management coordinator for the hospital, I was struggling to find answers to the problems before us. I imagine on some scale, this is what those living in the time of our Old Testament reading must have felt. Joel is writing in response to a locust plague that is impacting Jerusalem. In the first chapter, he describes the locusts, comparing them to horses of an army. They have the ability to darken the sky, to actually block out the sun. Now, living out here at the reservoir, a much smaller scale comparison might be the mayfly invasion that we witness from time to time in the months of June, where they are prone to obliterate one's windshield as you cross the dam. The locust, however, is much more than a practical nuisance. These bugs eat the harvest, taking food from the people, and Joel also reflects on the fact that that very food is also the spiritual food that they use for sacrifices, so the people lose their ability to offer sacrifices to God. Today's reading in verse 2 is apocalyptic in its writing. It foretells of threshing floors covered with grain, which was the staple of the locust diet, of vats overflowing with wine and oil, which are a symbol of the blessing that all those who repent will receive. God says through Joel that you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and that you will praise the name of the Lord your God. Joel then speaks of God pouring out his spirit on all, that the old will dream dreams and the young will see visions. Of course, as Christians, we acknowledge fulfillment of the pouring out of the Spirit by the story in the book of Acts, which we refer to as Pentecost. We've also seen throughout history those whose dreams have come to fruition, as well as those who have forecast events through the use of visions. These are the promises of the Lord our God, as revealed by a man who wrote a very small book, a man who was not a poet, but rather a prophet in the truest sense of the word. So how do the writings of Joel fit in this modern post-Christian world? As I stood in that room that we called the command center, it occurred to me that we had command over nothing. Things were going to happen and had happened that would and had knocked us off our feet. But we had a mission to carry out and did not have time to lament on the bad situation we were facing. We addressed each problem as it arose, dealt with it accordingly, and found ourselves once again in a position to be able to carry out our mission, wounded but functional. It was an ugly time in so many ways, but when I look back on the accomplishments that were realized by that small group of people, I realized that there was more involved than just us trying to get a business back to functioning. There was a force guiding us so that we were able to receive patients evacuated from the coast, as well as to care for those in the local community, not in the way which we were accustomed, perhaps, but in a new way, a way that challenged, terrified, and exhilarated us. We had seen the sun blotted out. We had lost the ability to offer sacrifice through our service, but with dependence on a mighty God and the culmination of the gifts, including dreams and visions, that He provided to us in those moments, we were successful in our endeavors. As we approach the national coming decisions that we're to make, I realized some of the same uncertainty, perhaps even a bit of the terror that I recognized standing in that room so many years ago. There is no certain path. There really is no right or wrong in the overall scheme of things. There is only this minute that we have here on this earth to do what we think is best. No matter the outcome, no matter the conflicts, our mission doesn't change. We must strive in the face of adversity to carry on and demonstrate the message that we are to love others as Christ has loved us, to see Christ in the person in front of us. He will deal with the locusts in our lives. He will be there when the sun's blotted out of the sky. All we have to do is ask to see his presence.